When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
This is 1 hour of fun from the show this morning.
Don't worry, you can still catch the entire show on your favorite podcast app.
And you can watch the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba on Blaze TV.
Enjoy the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Speedy, the real Greg Burgess in Helmsy, better known as Jack Buck and Happy. Have given you the kickoff hour. That's behind us. Hopefully you grab that as part of your daily Rick and Bubba experience. Eddie Van Adler joins us. He's ready. The YouTube experience. He's got an active day today. The live show, he'll also archive that for you. He'll archive a best of hour for you that you also can catch on Blaze TV and catch on our podcast archives as well. But today, the Wednesday Bible study returns too as we continue to walk through the Revelation. Today, Jesus's letter that Paul was to write down to the church at Smyrna. We'll talk about that in the Revelation today, live at noon Central Time on our YouTube channel. If you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you should have gotten an alert when this show went live today. You'll get an alert when the Bible study goes live. You get alerts when new content arrives. All you have to do is subscribe. It also helps us when you subscribe for potential sponsors going forward to keep funding what we all do here. That's also very helpful for us. So it doesn't cost you anything to do that, but it does get you some alerts so you get a reminder. Oh, I forgot the show's on, or I forgot that's on. So you can do that at rickandbubba.com. Very simple. Just go to our YouTube channel and just subscribe. We've got everybody in here. Oh, there he is, the silver tongue one, the man with a golden voice, professional lunch eater's man of the year, the inventor of pizza and a cup, Shakespeare's worst nightmare, and the master of the Kang's English. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Bill Bubba Bussey! Howdy, Bubba.
How about it, Rick Burgess? Friends, neighbors, associates everywhere. Pull up a chair and stay a while. Rick and Bubba's on the air.
Yeah. If you're driving, just take your right hand or your left hand on your steering wheel. Let's go with the beat. 10 and 2.
There's a party going on right here.
Cooling the Gang.
Cool Celebration. Cooling the Gang. Saw them in concert at Six Flags.
Yeah.
Awesome show.
But,
they did
know,
a great job. I hate I did not get to see them more.
I know. And it's really...
Cool was not the lead singer.
No.
He was the bass player.
Yeah.
JT was the lead singer.
Yeah, sure enough. There you go. And I think they still put together some version of themselves out there.
Sure. Yeah, I think JT died.
Did he? Did he go on in?
I think so, but I'm sure there's a version out there. There's a version of most every band still
out
there.
Oh, yes.
Well, once you have a name, you got to go with it.
Well, Greg brings it up. Foreigner has no original members, except the few times when Mick plays with them, which is not even the hotel.
He still owns it, but he'll show up a couple times a year.
Yeah. All right, so Bubba.
I saw them when they still had – original members.
Oh, they're good. I did too. They're excellent.
And I saw the lead singer. What was his name?
Lou Graham.
Lou Graham. Now he had an oxygen tube on, but he was singing.
All right, Rick. You and I saw him in their prime.
Yes, we did, and we're in the video that was yesterday.
Yeah, they shot it.
That's always
concert.
That'll show up one day in a Rick the Giant Game of Rick and Bubba Knowledge. what Foreigner video were Rick and Greg in? So make a note of that. It was right the video for that was yesterday. When you think about seeing these bands and all the things that they put out and all the different music, did you ever, Bubba, at all, and only you, I think, would take this journey. I can already feel Greg's negativity on it.
Oh, boy.
But did you like any of Lou Graham's solo work?
Midnight Blue went
better. I'm not even know if I know any of Lou Graham's
You
solo
probably
work.
Know the song Midnight Blue. when it was when it came out. It got
a great voice.
There was another singer, a little poppy.
Right.
There was another singer who did more R&B, and his name was he Lou Graham too?
I know what you're talking about.
The one that sung "One in a Million."
Yeah, that was Graham. That was
what is his name?
It ain't Lou.
Jeff Graham, maybe. It's a different
you're
Graham.
You're thinking about Jeffrey Osborne.
I don't think it was Jeff Graham.
It was something Graham, but you're right. But I can't remember.
I'll have to look that up now. Don't bother me the rest of the day.
One in a Million.
Larry Graham.
Larry Graham. Thank you.
Old man Graham's boy.
Yeah. One.
Old Larry.
Oh. That was a good song.
Oh, life had compassion and sent to me a stroke of love. Call you a one in a million. You.
And he was in a lot of bands too.
LTD, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
Well, this is our little music segment. Yeah, we really crank it out here. If you miss Behind the Music, just listen to this. It's all very sad, speaking of music. Sad life.
Oh, no.
I watched the documentary last night because he just went on David Crosby.
Yeah, he's had a lot going on.
That's a sad individual.
Well, we have a lot to cover today. In case you missed it yesterday, Mike Pence found some classified documents at his house. We have a story out today that Jimmy Carter carried some classified documents off. So apparently everybody here needs to go check their closet for classified documents because they're popping up like mushrooms. Well, I think we have a document problem.
I think so.
By the way, I've got to go to the farm today. I'll text you if I find any camp. A one in a million. You. So anyway,
Rick, I'm really, of course, it's your business, your place, but I'm really pulling that Camp House makes it. I was impressed at how nice Camp House was because I hadn't been there in years.
Well, nice may be a bit of a stretch. You can say nice compared to some places you and I've stayed
in. Nice, real nice.
Yeah, not Dream Ranch nice. But I mean,
there's very few that can compare to that.
Yeah. I tell people about when they ask me about some of the places we stayed.
Oh, Bubba.
The time we stayed in the metal building that was attached to the house. Now, I don't mean a barn like we have now. I mean the Sears and Roebuck building that was just tin.
That you put your lawnmower in.
That had no bottom.
Right. Yeah.
And we had a bunk in there, and you could literally see the gap between the house and that building.
Yeah. I could see outside,
and it was 14 degrees that night.
I couldn't believe it.
And we slept in that.
Well, there were markers.
And you remember there was somebody else in a bunk that we couldn't bring them to life. We tried joking and laughing. And
I thought they were dead.
Yeah, it was kind of like the story that Alfred Hitchcock had called The Upper Berth.
Yes.
You know, it was scary.
Yeah, we kept thinking, is this guy alive? And then he'd move, make a noise, but he would not interact with us. And he was just man on the bunk. And he never seemed to – and that was, you know, you have markers in your life that say, I've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's one for me and Bubba when we probably had the balance of our obsession with deer hunting was a little off because we literally would pack our cars and y'all were no better.
No.
And if anybody invited us anywhere, no matter the distance or the day, we would go. And no matter the conditions.
Oh, no.
I'm just not that guy anymore.
Right.
It was a good cause and we were there, but it was, I think, probably the worst sleeping arrangement I'd ever had for the weather given.
Well, you know how I am about mice, and we could hear them.
I don't like rats,
and I don't like mice. And all right, we'll come back. A lot of you saw yesterday. We do have an update on Bubba, which is good. We'll share that with you. A Rick and Bubba classic may appear on the program today that has deep Rick and Bubba history.
Deep history.
Your phone calls. We'll chat with you today. A lot of stories. We mentioned a couple of the headlines. We'll jump into those too.
And do you have any documents you need to confess?
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba. Well, I knew it was just a matter of time. You know, Manscaped now sells beard products. I have been waiting on this. I have been excited about this because we love the Manscaped products, you know, with the shampoo and the conditioners and the trimmer. And now they sent me one of their Beard Hedger Pro Kits. Hey, guys, bearded dudes, you got to get this. If you need a beard trim to a fresh shave, the technology behind the Beard Hedger Pro Kit allows you and me to shape our beard however we want it. Manscaped products, they are so good and so superior to the other attempts at products out there. These are made by men for men. And right now at manscaped.com, use our code RICK20. That's RICK20, and you'll get 20% off and free shipping. So the beard shampoo and conditioner I'm now using, love it. The beard oil, and here's what I like about the beard oil. It doesn't really have any strong scent. Its design is just to keep your beard from being coarse.
Scentless oil?
Yeah. My wife doesn't like when I don't keep it moisturized, and it gets kind of coarse, and it's rough up against her face. And,
or you use WD-40.
Yeah, you could. There's a beard balm, and what that helps you do, you put that on just like you would your hair. Put it on your beard, and you can kind of shape it the way you want so it doesn't look crazy, which mine does too many times. So this really, really helps. You're going to love all these new beard products. So the Pro Beard Kit has three free gifts, too. You get the beard brush, which I love, a beard comb, and scissors when you can get in there and work on areas that you're afraid to use, the hedger. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code RICK20. Ladies, also a great gift idea if your husband or the men in your life have a birthday or something coming up. Father's Day is coming up in June. Manscaped.com, 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com if you use our code RICK20. So, Bubba, you put it out on social media yesterday, and we mentioned you yesterday, big day for testing and scans and blood work and, you know, praise God, all good news.
Yeah, it was, and I appreciate the listeners who email and ask about it. We try to keep you updated. I don't try to, bleed on everybody with it, old DJ term, bleeding on the audience. But we got good report, good CAT scan, good blood work, and as the doctor's term, we remain in full remission. So we will take that on face value. It's good news. Thank you for your prayers, your thoughts. Yep. I would say I'm very happy about that, but I walk out of that waiting room with a lot of people who have not had good news.
That's right.
And I feel for them, and I would ask you to keep praying for those folks that are battling every day with whatever treatment they're going through, because it affects so many people and pretty much will affect every family at some point in time. So.
Yep. So it was, and Bubba and I were having that conversation, and you remember we talked about it way back when, and thankfully it was a lot of you heard that, and we were prompted to talk about, how everybody doesn't always get the, earthly celebration story, and God is who he is in both of those. But we also don't want to refuse to be thankful, because that can be bad too.
Absolutely.
So anyway,
we take it at face value.
That's right.
And as I tell people, they'll ask me how I'm doing, and it's kind of become my catchphrase. My answer for that is, I said, I don't know what next month holds. I don't know what next year holds, but today I'm okay.
Well, I think, yeah, and to get to that place, that peaceful place, this actually will find its way into today's Bible study, because I mean, we've studied it and we're familiar with it, but it ties in today, the church at Smyrna. However you see these seven letters to the churches, where you see them as these were churches that existed in that time, and that's who Jesus was talking about, or you think they represent a church's state at any time, anywhere. A church could be going through what those are going through at any given time, and then, of course, the prophetic view of it, that these represent the ages of the church. However you see it, today it'll be about persecution. And one of the things that is cross-referenced is you go back, and it really is an example. This has been around for a long time. So Peter and James, the brother of John, they both get put into jail. And so they kill James. Okay, he doesn't come out. Well, Peter is supposed to be next. Okay. I mean, he's faithful. When they go to check on him, now God lets him out. He gives him a miraculous escape. Not James. Okay. James is martyred right then. And Peter will be martyred later, but not then.
Not his time.
But when they go in there, Peter, not knowing what God's going to do, guess where how they found him? Asleep. Sleeping between two guards. He was at perfect peace.
Mm-hmm.
I may be just like James today, or God may let me out, but I know what my relationship should be with my Lord and Savior, and it is. I'm serving him. He may bring me out of this jail today, or I may be martyred just like James. But he was so unconcerned, and he was not anxious. He wasn't panicky. They go to possibly martyr him, and he's asleep in between the two guards. And that's kind of the way we're supposed to live.
Yeah.
And, you know, in that case.
I share that ability to nap.
Right. But in that case, James got the your time is over, and yeah. Peter got the you'll get a little longer.
Well, yeah.
But do you think one was more favored by God than the other? Mm. I mean, they both were redeemed.
As I was talking with you and Speedy, and I think anybody that knows me, I don't live my life like I think I'm going to get a bad report.
Right. Absolutely.
But I am, you know, when you're sitting there, right now I have to. I'm in surveillance mode, they call it, and every 90 days we have to go through this. So it's kind of like a speed bump. Mm-hmm. You see it, you got to slow down, you got to go over it, you got to take your time, and then you can speed back up again. But I am so thankful not only for the doctors, but there's so many people that work with them and their assistants and the nurses and, you know, the scientists and people who are developing all of this technology that we're spinning off much of it out of the space program, that we can do the things we do now. It's just amazing. And the chemotherapy has come so far since my dad had to go through all that. Some of it has gone so far, they don't even call it chemotherapy anymore. They call it something else, immunotherapy.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm just thankful for those people and the work they do every day. It is thankless, and they show up day after day, and they knock it out, you know.
Yep, you're right.
So we appreciate you folks. We really do.
Yeah, and there's just all of you that do the things.
I feel like Coach Bird just telling them what a good job.
What a great job. You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like I say, Dad is still coaching like that everywhere, Greg and I.
Yeah.
And go with him.
Still encouraging, right?
Right. Let me tell you, he leaves behind him a path of encouragement. I mean, he's coaching everywhere we go.
That's great. And confusion.
Yeah, right. Well, to a certain extent.
a little bit of confusion.
That's right. You know, I love seeing people who've been motivated but can't quite figure out who this person is and if they're supposed to know it. But it doesn't bother Dad at all. So anyway, that is a good news report, and we celebrate in that. And again, I hope you hear the gratitude that comes from us as you guys have prayed us through so many things in our past and in our present. And we know that you're there for us in however long a future God allows.
Yep, you know? Absolutely. And, thank you all. You all play a big part in that. You may not know it, but I know it.
Yeah, we don't take that for granted.
No, nope.
It's we've been given many wonderful things by a gracious God, and you, the audience, is definitely one of those. And you have been a powerful gift, and at times, you know, you're a test. But most of the time, you are absolutely a gift.
And Betty is such a trooper through all this. You know, Betty will just be sitting there and start laughing about something, and I'll, you know. I go, what are you laughing about? She said, well, I just thought about something. And she'll tell you, I mean, she's always in such a good mood, and I appreciate that.
Oh, I love it.
She's good to have in your corner, you know?
Well, let me tell you what you don't need in your life, especially if you're going through difficulty, are Debbie Downers.
No.
Mr. or Mrs. Negativity.
Yeah.
Those people, and you wonder why people don't like to be around you.
Yeah.
You know? Bottom of the hour, 866 We Be Big. More of the Rick and Bubba Show coming up right after this.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
All right, so this Nancy Pelosi story that we really have been sitting on because there's so much fake news now.
It is so bizarre.
And we don't want to be like the left and go off half-cocked and say things about people that cannot be confirmed.
Not us.
Yeah.
Well, won't happen
well,
here.
Let me say, we've tried to do better about that.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a more true statement. Pelosi, you remember when her husband was attacked in the home and how weird that is? And we never have really gotten to
weird.
That.
Yep.
So I started seeing these stories that she had an exorcism at her house. Now, she claims to be Catholic. Is that correct?
I think that would
she's
probably
not a very good one,
fall in
based
line
on the things
well,
that she does.
Yeah. She doesn't follow some of the tenets obviously.
So I think that whatever the parish was in her area, the official Catholic Church came out and said, we weren't called into Nancy Pelosi's house to do an exorcism. So I left it alone. I thought, well, there it is again.
Yeah.
You know, we're throwing stuff out about people. It's not true.
Right.
Well, then now sources have come back and said, oh, she didn't get anything officially from the parish, or the Catholic Church didn't officially endorse this,
right.
But she had one. She brought in her own person. And then we've checked again today, and apparently that is true, that she brought some sort of priest in to perform an exorcism on her house. Now, Babylon Bee, not missing an opportunity, has a picture of her with a MAGA hat on now. It says, after priest exorcises all demons from her home, Pelosi becomes a Republican. Now, if you don't think that's funny,
that is funny.
I don't even care if you're a staunch progressive Democrat, whatever. That's funny.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Apparently this did happen. Alexandra Pelosi, the daughter of Nancy Pelosi, told the New York Times that her mother called priests to perform an exorcism of the house over Thanksgiving. This was just weeks after her father David DePapa, was that the guy's name?
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly attacked Paul Pelosi with a hammer. So Nancy Pelosi, her daughter said, felt guilty that her husband was injured by a man who was looking for her, and said it weighed heavy on her soul and it broke her. And over Thanksgiving, she had priests coming, trying to have an exorcism of the house and having prayer services. So apparently that did happen. I'm going to tell you what. I'm so confused by the left right now. You get DeMar Hamlin on the field in cardiac arrest, and they're praying all over the place.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
You get your husband attacked in your own home. Suddenly, you're praying and bringing priests in,
yeah.
And then a hockey player takes a stand for Jesus, and y'all dog him. So I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with y'all. Y'all are real hard to follow right now. I can't. There doesn't seem to be a consistency. Here's how it looks. You only run to God when you're afraid.
I think
that's how it looks.
Much it.
And
think,
other than that, you blaspheme.
Yep, that's it.
I think they have a friend. It's called Convenient Jesus.
Right. Oh, buddy, isn't that true? Oh, Convenient Jesus is being tossed around a lot out there right now. So that's wow. Remember, that's it. Really, Convenient Jesus is his new name. And just before that was called Hippie Jesus.
You're right, right.
Yeah, but anyway, I don't know. Adler?
Just talking about Pelosi, just in general, you know how we talk about how these politicians, they make, you know, $150,000 a year, yet they're worth hundreds of millions of dollars?
Yep.
The DOJ has officially opened up a lawsuit against Google to break up its ad technology monopoly. Nancy Pelosi sold $3 million worth of Google stock just 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we wonder how they get so rich. It's because they know what's going on.
Well,
and didn't she, and I may be wrong, but wasn't she outspoken when they were saying they needed to crack down on Congress members being able to trade stock based on inside information they were getting? And she was one of them that blocked that.
Yes.
And said, no, they're responsible. And but she's done this and made tons of money. I know her husband has invested money. When some of the, I think it was in the battery technology right before they said they were going to outlaw the combustion engine, you know, by 2035.
Right.
So it seems like the Pelosi's always seem to just be ahead of the market just a little bit, doesn't it?
Here's them actually asking her about that. And this is a classic clip because this has been a item of contention with Pelosi for quite a while. But here is a reporter asking her and hear her reaction if you guys want it.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I think we have to go now. One more, he said. Yes, sir.
Over the course of your career, has your husband ever made a stock purchase or sale based on the information he's received?
What are you saying?
Over the course of your career, has your husband ever made a stock purchase or sale based on the information you've received?
Thinking. No. Absolutely not. Okay.
Okay.
Wish you would have taken the last question.
That was believable.
So, the question was
that press person, whoever her handler was right there, fired that day.
Yeah. So you said one more, huh?
And if you couldn't hear, the press asked her, "Has your husband ever made money, you know, on stock tips that they got from you, that he got from you?" And she said, "Absolutely not." Well, I mean, look at the track record, like Adler had mentioned. It's awful strange. When regulation's coming down on the oil company, they dump oil stocks, you know. When something else is coming, they're always about 2 weeks ahead of the market.
Well, perfect example. Yeah, perfect example. Dan Moultrie came yesterday, you know, something we can never forget after we're done with this trivia question. So he brought with him biscuits that had sausage and cheese on, right. on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So if those biscuits came in, okay, and you looked and you started looking at it going, it looks like there's about four missing. And you found out that Bubba and I had actually met Moultrie out in the parking lot before y'all ever got to see him. You'd have to question us. I mean, you'd have to think, mm-hmm. It's possible they knew that these biscuits were here before anybody else because they got them some before the rest of us had a shot at it.
Right.
I mean, wouldn't you think that? Wouldn't you come talk to us about it?
Yeah, well, even yesterday there was one missing when
right.
we got here, and Dan admitted on the way here he got into
it. Sure. You know why? He had access to information we didn't have.
Yep. But lots of cookies were missing. Yeah.
By the way, before we go to the break, I must give you one more Babylon Bee. You talking about the eggs, okay? This is so good. Forbes magazine, the world's richest man. Man with Taylor Swift tickets and a dozen eggs tops Forbes' wealthiest list.
That's good.
Wow. I wish I could just go to the office at the Bee and hang out. 15 minutes to the top of the hour. We'll be back. The number to be part of the show, you know it, 866-WE-BE-BIG. A Rick and Bubba classic out there today, an opportunity for you. Be paying attention for that. More Rick and Bubba coming up right after this.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
A little bit differently than everybody else, meaning he found a box and then brought it in, right?
I go back to things that we should be able to agree upon.
Mm-hmm.
Democrat, Republican, mm-hmm. progressive, conservative, whatever. I think, and Rick, I started with the call for, is it okay for presidents to play golf or not? Because that became political.
Yeah, remember that.
Let's revisit documents,
mm-hmm.
classified documents,
mm-hmm.
how we're handling them,
mm-hmm.
who has access to them.
Mm-hmm.
Where and how these things are ending up, and fix the problem, and have a set of rules, and everybody will be punished accordingly. Trump, Pence, Biden, whoever. Because I promise you, if it was a ranking file type person who had clearance from, say, lovely Huntsville, Alabama,
mm-hmm.
and they ended up with these in their home, they would be fired, stripped to their security clearance, prosecuted, lose their job, and might go to jail.
Right.
So if that would happen to a rank-and-file member from Huntsville, Alabama, if that happened to them, then the same should be true of Trump, Biden, Pence, Jimmy Carter, whoever,
mm-hmm.
whoever. We've got to agree and quit making these things political. But there's obvious a problem with the way we're handling classified documents, because we get email from people who have security clearance all the time.
Right.
And they tell us they have to go into a special room
right.
that has been set up for this. It has initials with it, and I don't remember what they are. Some of you are yelling at the radio right now. It's like spiff or something.
Mm-hmm.
And red lights are on, and you go in and you do whatever you need to do with it, and you leave them there, and you exit, and you're checked, and you don't have them. So why are these other people carrying documents home and to work and all this stuff? Are they being packed up accidentally when they leave? Which I think is what happened to Pence. But we got to be sure this is not happening, because if this is continually happening, we don't have classified documents. We just got documents that a few people have and some don't.
Well, also, unlike some of the others that have been found with Biden and Trump, Mike Pence himself informed the National Archives that a small number of potential, now I'd underline that, classified documents were found in two small boxes, and another two boxes contained copies of vice presidential papers, and the National Archives then informed the FBI, and they're following the standard procedure, and then those that need to be contacted, the House Oversight Committee, confirmed that was the case, and that Pence had notified the chairman of the Republican Party as well, or the chairman of the Oversight Committee. And then Pence reached out to everyone involved and said he is cooperating fully. Former President Trump said that Mike Pence is an honest man, and even though he did keep him from retaining the Oval Office. But no, I'm just kidding. Pence was like, well, good, thank you. I needed that. Mm-hmm. Needed that kind of attitude about me back when you threw me under the bus. But but anyway, so you're right. And then on video three, Attorney General Merrick Garland is asked, are we treating, to Bubba's point and the point we've made all along, Democrats and Republicans differently? And here is the response.
Ensure that we adhere to the rule of law. These mean, among other things, that we do not have different rules for Democrats or Republicans, different rules for the powerful or the powerless, different rules for the rich or for the poor. We apply the facts and the law in each case in a neutral, nonpartisan manner. That is what we always do, and that is what we do in the matters that you're referring to.
Good. Boy, he sounded confident. That was nervous, Merrick. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a little, we treat everybody the same. I mean, it was like, you know, remember Nervous Gump? That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
I mean, I felt confident about that, didn't you? I
thought, it's your point.
It's like, I mean, he memorized what he was supposed to say, and he was trying to, you know, go,
is,
you know.
Did they ask
he a quarter goat right boy?
I was about to say, did they ask the Attorney General or goat boy? I mean, what kind of? I mean, I
got document.
What in the world?
Yeah,
was Adder, can I hear that again? I mean, that has to be one of the most unimpressive.
Go ahead and hit play.
ensure that we adhere to the rule of law. These mean, among other things, that we do not have different rules for Democrats or Republicans, different rules for the powerful or the powerless, different rules for the rich or for the poor. We apply the facts and the law in each case in a neutral, nonpartisan manner. That is what we always do, and that is what we do in the matters that you're referring to.
Okay.
Yeah. It's almost like towards the end, he didn't even believe what he was saying.
Even you ever see somebody that's lying so bad and insincere that toward the end, they're not even buying it?
Yeah, that's crap.
And it's like he faded off. All right, so we're going to get into this Gavin Newsom character. Bubba, you're right. He's the new darling of the Democratic Party.
He's going to be the nominee, Rick. He's going to run. Hillary's going to run. And they're going to find a sweet way for Uncle Joe to step out of it. And but I think Gavin Newsom's going to be your man. He's the new general. I think there's going to be a youth movement in both parties because we've seen the elderly. Mm-hmm. And it's going down.
It's hard to watch.
And we've done this in the country before. I mean, this is nothing new. But Gavin Newsom, I really think, will be the Democrats' guy because he's going to tell you what he's done for California he wants to do for the country.
Oh, boy.
Just ask somebody that left there.
But if I'm a Democratic strategist, and I know that's hard to imagine, don't I know that Gavin Newsom and what the state of California that maybe a lot of most – Well, is it most?
Rick, Gavin Newsom
Who would want that? It'd be like me being hired as a coach, and you look back and the teams I'd coached prior to this, I lose.
Yeah, well, Rick, keep in mind you.
But they see him as a win.
You think it's a normal thing? Gavin Newsom is going to tell you that California is setting the pace.
I know
it's the way of the new America.
That, yeah, he's right about
and
that.
And it is. It should be copied across the whole country. It's not a failure the way we see it.
Well, he's setting the stage for destruction. I agree with him on that.
Well, and here is typical liberal double talk. You're going to see him attacking the Second Amendment, and he is surrounded by security guards who are armed.
I know.
You know, I wouldn't have to own a gun if I had security guards around me that were armed.
I wouldn't either.
You know, we've been through this with other celebrities that were anti-gun. They're fine being anti-gun. They tell you to be anti-gun, but they have a small army defending them with guns.
We've said this a thousand times. You're about to see it with your own eyes. And those of you that don't get to see it, we're telling you what the picture is, the image is. There's some things that you don't have to speculate on anymore, okay? If you think we exaggerate to say the progressive ultimately wants everyone out there not to be able to defend themselves and only they should be defended by people with guns. That's really what they must believe because that's how they live their life. So here's Gavin Newsom with armed security guards standing at his side making these statements. Here we go.
I mean, the Second Amendment's becoming a suicide pact, it feels like. I mean, it's just, and that's the only question the community wants. How do you, what about our kids when they're going to school? what more can we do? And, you know, again, we look at that all the time. I mean, we did another half dozen gun safety bills last year. We'll continue to find whatever loopholes we can. We continue to lead the national conversation on gun safety reform. And the data bears out it works. It saves lives. California's 37% lower gun death rate than the rest of the nation. And yet, with all that evidence, no one on the other side seems to give a damn. They can't get anything out of Congress.
He's walking down the street doing an interview, it looks like, with a girl from CBS, and he has four armed guards behind him while he's talking about how good, you know, you heard what he's saying, California is the example the rest of the country ought to follow. He's already campaigning.
And I love how somehow...
It was a little noisy, but I think you could get most of that.
Well, somehow the left loves to do this. They draw a line that is awkward because it really doesn't work this way if you really, which we don't do anymore, walk it out, as we've said, critically think. Can you really draw a line from the Second Amendment to evil people that shoot up schools? See, I think the line's coming from the wrong place. Because really what the Second Amendment is really ensuring me is that when this crazy SOB shows up, I can shoot back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's really giving me. The crazy person, the reason why they're shooting everybody up is not because of the Second Amendment. It's because they're wicked and evil, and we will not look at why they're wicked and evil. That we won't look at. Yeah. So that's not a line. And as you said, Bubba, if apparently there's no need for people to be able to protect themselves, which is what the Second Amendment is about, then Gavin Newsom should be able to walk the streets of California with no armed guards.
Well, he's got
now. Why does he
four
have armed guards?
You can easily identify. There may be one or two in front of him too.
And we know the answer, but I'm just making the point. Why does he have armed guards? Why?
Because there might be people out that would want to do him harm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. There's people out that might want to do all of us harm.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't want us to be able to protect ourselves. And he's saying that the Second Amendment is a suicide pact.
Well, the ever-confusing, ongoing COVID-19 vaccine boosters, all this. We got a couple of audio and video clips for you. Joe Scarborough, the thing that gets me on all this, look, if you are on board and you believe that the vaccines and the boosters are the right thing for you and you and your doctor have discussed them, that is your business. But sometimes we all can be guilty of clinging to something because we want it to be so, but it really just isn't. And this is the thing. Greg brought this up, I guess it's been probably over a year ago, when Billy Eilish, what's her name?
Eilish,
20-something years old, and she caught COVID and said that she was so thankful that the powerful, wonderful, I think that was the word, the wonderful vaccine, if she hadn't had that, she probably would have died.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they said that. Yeah, would have died.
What? Yeah. I mean, you're young. What are you talking about?
There was less than 1% chance you would have. Right. Age in your head.
No matter what age you are.
Yeah.
So, and I think the older would maybe got up to 1%. But anyway, so Joe Scarborough, who, you know, I remember back when he had some sense, and then he kind of just drifted off the left end.
Right.
And then his head and his haircut slowly began to turn into Jimmy Neutron, the animated character. He started taking on an odd look, too, to go with it.
Sure.
But now I want you all to think about this, okay? You talk about clinging to something.
Mm-hmm.
So Scarborough is about to – now here's what you got to know about Scarborough. He's had one, two, three – count them – three COVID shots, okay, three of them. And he just got a bad case of COVID, so he was sick. Because you know what? COVID will make you feel really bad. So will the flu.
It's a bad sickness. Yeah, you don't want it.
I've had people tell me.
Sorry,
that,
Bobby.
I've had people to tell me that have had both the latest flu and the latest COVID, that's crucial, and found the flu to even be worse. As far as the way you feel.
Yeah.
So I'm not talking about which one's more dangerous than the other. So he said, now I want you to hear this. He's about to tell us, now he's had three COVID shots. Please don't miss this. He's had three, still got it, and had what he's calling, I guess, a bad case of it. But listen to the justification of the ongoing, never-ending boosters. He now says, I just should have got four.
Wouldn't have been as bad.
Now, he has no way of knowing that, but here's what we do know, that three didn't keep it from being bad. That we know. But four would have. So here comes Joe Scarborough to want us to all know that we should roll up our sleeves and just let them start boosting us on both arms. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go.
On.
You know, it's interesting. I had not gotten my COVID booster.
Mm-hmm. Which one? The fourth.
The fourth. Yeah. Because, you know, we went to London, then got COVID.
COVID, yeah.
Got completely knocked down for a while.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Months.
Exactly. Well, I wouldn't say months.
You were knocked down for months.
Exaggeration.
Months?
Yes.
I wouldn't say months.
No, it was a long time.
So anyway, weeks. Let's take weeks. I think it was weeks. I was fatigued for a long time.
It took 3 months.
I'm saying it's very interesting, though, because we're learning a lot more about what your resistance to COVID may be.
Yeah.
What was that? Back in September, just got my checkup. And the antibodies are like at 100% right now.
Interesting.
So it kind of works out. But again, we found out the boosters, the vaccines, they don't stop the disease, but they certainly do make a big impact. Instead of me being down for a month with fatigue, if I'd taken the booster, I would have probably sneezed and said, what was that, and kept going.
Exactly.
That's the difference. And so I love when people go, oh, I'm not going to accuse the difference, and you still get COVID.
That's not the purpose of it.
That's never been the purpose of the flu shot. And so it builds up your resistance, just like actually getting COVID builds up your resistance.
Exactly.
So
keep you from
listen,
going to the
so do yourself a favor, right, and get off the websites that Chinese religious cults are putting as a front so they can get a stronghold in America and in your mind, and get yourself a booster shot.
It's important.
You'll be glad you did.
Chinese Christian site.
I think you see what's influencing this situation here, don't you?
Oh, yes,
The one that told Joe how long he was sick and would not back down.
Do you realize how obvious it
is?
Is it a wife? Are they married?
Yes, they are.
Do you realize,
Rick, that's when he started.
Thank you. Yeah. Do you realize?
I understand.
Do you realize how clearly she's embellishing? You were down for months. I would say months. Months. I wasn't down much. Months. It was months. He wanted to say a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then he finally said, I better say at least a month. Or I got to go home with this person.
Well, you see, that little clip shows you how that relationship works in total.
So what we just heard is I took everything they told me to take. I still got COVID, and I was down. We don't know how much time because they were embellishing.
If he was down for months, wouldn't we have had a story on it?
Yeah.
Joe Scarborough missing off MSNBC for months.
So he was probably down for a week or so.
Yeah,
okay.
That's kind of
what I'm hearing. If you get
don't feel good for a month or two. I got that. It can run long.
But he's saying, and I love the fantasy of this, if I'd only taken the fourth one. Mm-hmm. If I'd taken the fourth one, I would have just sneezed.
Mm-hmm. And kept going.
Now, how he knows
that. How do you say that?
Now, I'm gonna wonder, I think I know the answer. Back before he took booster one, I bet he said, see, if I take this booster, if I get it, it'll be just nothing.
I'll just sneeze and keep
going. And then he goes, now I've taken booster two. See, now if I take booster two, I'll just, it would just, you know, now booster three, I'm just going to, and then after all these boosters, he still gets it. He still feels terrible for some length of time, okay, that is up in
months.
The air. Yeah. And he's now saying, if I'd only taken the fourth, it'd just been a sneeze.
Mm-hmm.
I just want all of you to realize, this is between you and your doctor. It's your own business. But y'all can deduce, can't you, that there's no way that Joe Scarborough can make that statement, and I think we all have a hard time thinking he's right based on what? The fact that he's already had all the other ones before this. I mean, this isn't overly complicated.
Mm-mm. Also, can we talk about the fact that he said that Chinese religious cults are responsible for the websites that people see that are against vaccinating? Is that what he's saying?
He did say that.
And so the vaccine is going to save America from China getting a stronghold in what is he talking about?
He also said, don't miss this, that the vaccine was never designed to keep you from getting it.
That's not true.
What happened to get vaccinated for your friends? You're not getting vaccinated.
It actually was. And then he said, just like the flu shot. No, when you take the flu shot, they hope they got the right strand and you won't get it. That's what they're hoping.
Yeah.
And if it is the right strand, it will keep you from getting it. So he He is. That is the biggest garbage pail of gobbledygook. And he just rolled
Rick,
it out.
If you've been all in on the vaccination bus without question, okay, and then you get it all and you still get very sick from it, which apparently he did, according to his wife. How do you save face? What else can you say? I mean, you're all in. There's no backing up at that point.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what else is he going
to
say?
What is he? But is he Fonzie? I mean, is he not capable to say? Look, I don't have a problem. I don't know whatever happened to this. I mean, we all can be prideful people. I totally understand that. But it's not some horrible thing or indictment on you if you tried something in the beginning that you were told something about. And then as time went on, you said, now that we have a bigger sample of how this worked, I think what I thought in the beginning just wasn't correct. What's wrong with that? How many times have you had, I've had to come back and say, well, I thought that, but now that I look at the evidence, I think I was wrong.
Well, he's not allowed to think.
Right? That's the bigger point. We had some
other checks with the boss there.
Yeah, the next one's really good. We'll okay.
The Rick and Bubba Show, thank you for being with us again today as we unpack the story. So we've been working on the latest COVID-19, Joe Scarborough, ridiculous. We also have a story today that is saying, just hang on. You hear Joe and all the talking heads preparing you for this. And there's no hiding this. This is actually in the story today. Just as you will be guilted into trying to get a flu shot every year and the ever-going annual flu shot, again, that's between you and your doctor. It's your personal decision. But now you're going to see the COVID shot is going to become annual as well. And you see us heading that way. So we know that Elon Musk said that he'd had a bad reaction to the latest booster. And then he said his cousin was having issues with his heart. This did not go well. And so we have the guy that we keep playing that's with Pfizer that has the thick Greek accent.
Yeah.
I don't know his name, but we keep talking, whatever. So this video we're about to play for you, and this is the beauty of Elon Musk taking over Twitter. It's been banned on Facebook. It's been banned on Instagram. It's been banned on YouTube, but it is available on Twitter. Because Elon Musk will not let it be taken down. Mm-hmm. So here he is being asked if he wanted to, what was it, Adam, want to apologize for the misinformation he's been rolling out?
Yes, exactly.
All right, here we go.
Ask you, when did you know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission? How long did you know that without saying it publicly?
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. Answer that question. I mean, we now know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission. But why did you keep it secret? You said it was 100% effective, then 90%, then 80%, then 70%. But we now know that the vaccines do not stop transmission. Why did you keep that secret?
Have a nice day.
I won't have a nice day until I know the answer. Why did you keep it a secret that your vaccine did not stop transmission?
Is it time to apologize to the world, sir, to give refunds back to the countries that poured all their money into your vaccine that doesn't work, your ineffective vaccine?
Yeah, you have a gold bear around.
Are you not ashamed of what you've done in the last couple of years?
Do you have any apologies to the public, sir?
And it goes on and
boy,
on.
Boy, he wants
wow.
his hand.
Oh, he goes yeah, where's for, his handler at? Yeah.
She's holding his arm. Yeah, she's there.
There it is. So everybody, think about, should it concern any of you that journalists around the world are simply doing their job? And Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube says you're not allowed to see that. Exactly. We don't like these hard questions to this man.
Twitter is the only place you can get that clip now. Thank you, Elon.
Right. And, of course, our archive will not be seen today.
we'll see what happens if that
right. That's a good point.
Right. Yeah. Even Billy Gates is saying the current COVID vaccines – are not doing the job, but of course he's going to have an answer for us. But even Bill Gates.
I thought he was working on cows.
Now, even Bill Gates is saying, when I'm not working on cow burping, I got to get on this. He, you know what? I think he wants to have some sort of credibility instead of keep saying that these vaccines do things that they don't do. And so now he's going to admit they don't, but he says there's more options coming. So here we go.
Anyway, so antibodies, antivirals. We think we can also have
very early in an epidemic, a thing you can inhale that will mean that you can't be infected, a blocker, an inhaled blocker. We also need to fix the three problems with vaccines. The current vaccines are not infection blocking. They're not broad, so when new variants come up, you lose protection. And they have very short duration.
So he's admitting that. And don't forget, and I don't forget, it was not the guy who worked on the mRNA, but it was the other doctor that everybody wouldn't allow to talk, who had all kinds of accolades. Was it Thompson?
No, it was, you mean the one we talked about?
No, no, no. Mm-hmm. That's the one who came out.
Robert.
The one who that did the mRNA, he was the one saying I wouldn't give them to children,
right, right,
and all this. But there was another doctor early on that the minute the variant came out, the second variant, he said this vaccine is now obsolete. And he was the one that said that vaccine was designed to go after the alpha COVID-19 virus. Now that we have, was Delta next? That's before we started changing that. Whatever.
There was something in there between them.
Went through
it?
Omicron.
Whatever the next one was, he said at this point, the vaccine is now obsolete because it will not keep you from getting the variant.
Right.
It won't do it. And of course, we were not allowed to hear that, but Bill Gates just said what this guy was saying three years ago.
Right.
And he said, so you've got to come up with some way to overcome that, or, you know, the mistake I think that we made, I was talking with someone, and let's see, we have one, two, my sister's a teacher, Greg's daughter's a teacher, Adler's wife is a teacher.
My son.
Your
my son.
And I was talking with a teacher that said, look, when I first started teaching small children, I got sick all the time. But then my immune system said, okay, thank you for exposing us to all this. And then I started being a person who never got sick.
Yeah, it started making a resume, right, didn't it?
So where we made our terrible mistake, and China is suffering over it now, is we locked people away and let their immune systems get weakened and not have any idea what was out there, and then said, try to go back outside again. Oh, no, they're getting sick. And then we'd run back inside again. And the immune system that you have been given by whoever you believe or whatever you believe created you, your body is designed to go, show me what I need to fight. Let me learn it. Let me figure this out. We have an immune system that if it's kept strong and it's allowed to do its job, it may be the best protection that is available to you if your immune system is healthy.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about people that because of cancer treatments and
Just have a problem.
Whatever, they fail like everything else. Whatever has your immune system weak or compromised, that's different. But those that have healthy immune systems, taking all these jabs and hiding yourself away was and is a mistake.
Well, Rick, you can look at it this way, too. There's certainly a happy medium in some of that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we always say to stay healthy, you need to eat right, get plenty of sleep, and what? Exercise. Mm-hmm. You have to exercise your immune system, and that's the way you do it.
Right.
Locking it away is not the way to exercise it.
Yeah. And that's why these nurses were screaming, our immune system is working. Don't remove us from here because we won't take that jab. We're the people you need on the front lines. Our body is familiar with all this. We're treating sick patients all the time. And we're bouncing back and we're ready to go. And firing them was a huge mistake. A lot of mistakes were made in the pandemic.
It was a mistake to force them to get the jab when they didn't need it, when they already had antibodies.
And I have this weird concept that when you realize something was a mistake, don't do it again.
Right. Don't just stay with it for the sake of saying or not having to say you made a mistake. It's okay to adjust as more information becomes available.
And treatments are certainly part of that. But we can't put our eggs in the vaccine treatment basket, especially when we know that some of the treatments, we're not real sure about the side effects yet because we rushed them to market for a reason that I understand. But it still is a fact. Well, and then there came a big, big concern. We had it lined up for 10 minutes before last hour, and then we went over on these videos on the COVID update. So then we moved it to start this hour, which we were both pleased with. And then Edgar's, who brings us our breakfast every day, thank them, it showed up.
Right.
And I thought, uh-oh.
Distraction.
Now breakfast is here.
Yeah. Mm.
And he is preparing to do this, but now breakfast has arrived.
That's and, you know, there's still some here that's distracting.
Yeah.
Edgar's has got it.
Yeah. Well, you know what you did, and I thought this worked. You did get some of it down before we started.
Right.
So it's not like it was sitting over there and you, because I don't know about the rest of you. I was so hungry today, I just could have run through that door.
Can I tell you what I did the other day after my CAT scan? Did I tell you what I did?
I know that you said off to have lunch and then we didn't know what happened.
And we did. And I told Betty, I said, we were actually having lunch very close to Edgar's. And we would have gone to Edgar's. I just didn't make it that far.
Right.
We stopped at a place before that. Right. Yeah. I stopped before because I was hungry.
Yeah.
And I told Betty, I said, I don't do this a lot, but I said, I want like four cookies.
Three or four cookies.
Oh, they got them.
Too. Cookies.
And I said, you know, it's been a CAT scan day. I think I deserve a treat.
Yeah.
And I went down to Edgar's and.
Did you go nuts?
Well, you know, I started looking at all of them in there. And you know how I like to look at food while I'm eating?
Sure you do, yeah.
You remember when I used to eat ice cream? I love to look at the ice cream cakes.
Yeah.
And you tried it. You said it just like it tastes better.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's like a winter wonderland.
I looked, and there was some of those, I think they call them thumbnail cookies. I don't know why, but they're like a sugar cookie with a little bit of cream in the middle. You know what I'm talking about? And they have chocolate, and then they have other flavor.
I understood.
And all they had was some chocolate, and I said, I want like three or four of those cookies.
Three or four?
Yeah.
And they have to decide?
And I just point at them.
Who made the call?
Three or four of those. Because I don't know why they call them thumbnail cookies, because they don't look like a thumbnail to me.
Did you get three or four?
Well, I ended up with four.
I bet.
And, and the nice gentleman that was working there, he said, do you want the cream or do you want chocolate? And I said, whatever you got. He said, well, what would you prefer?
Bobby, you're making it hard on them.
I said, cream, probably.
Probably.
And he said, well, we're out of cream, but I'll make you some right quick.
Oh, fresh.
And I mean,
you got them fresh?
He spun around there and put the little top.
Show
on
me
top
how you did it.
Squeezed that stuff out.
Yeah.
And I thought, how much for that thing you're squeezing? Well, you know what I mean? I thought if I could just have it.
You'd be like Goat Boy on that bottle.
Oh, I'd be tearing it up. And you know, they were just very pleasant to have.
Oh, they're great, yeah.
Yeah.
What time you had a big there? Cookie day because you had those Moultrie cookies, too.
Yeah, about 10 of them, didn't you?
That was the day after. That was yesterday.
Oh,
I thought you didn't do it every day.
Well, that was an exception.
I knew you'd walk right in.
Well. We got one in the snare. Come over here and look at him.
Yeah. You got him.
Get his leg off.
We'll be back.
Rick and Bubba.
So now, I really couldn't believe that this was really happening, that we now don't believe that DeMar Hamlin actually went to the Bills game and we sent a body double and there's some conspiracy that some are going as far as that they don't want us to know that DeMar Hamlin has actually passed.
Which I think is ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know what this is all about. But anyway.
But they are acting weird, I will say that.
Yeah, and now, and do you have to edit this one out or a little bit? Are we okay? All right, so Josh Allen is now going to be asked about the conspiracies related to the DeMar Hamlin body double thing. Well, nowadays, Bubba, anything can get legs. Anything. and in this case, skinny legs. All right, so here is the interaction.
So Newsweek, New York Post, and other outlets are running stories about a DeMar Hamlin conspiracy theory in which people are suggesting that he was not at the game on Sunday and that it was some sort of body double conspiracy cover-up. It goes on and on and on into the tinfoil hat territory. Would you like to debunk that conspiracy theory or maybe confirm it?
Yeah, that's stupid. that you said there's mainstream media outlets pushing this?
There's mainstream media outlets. There's people with like really legitimate heavy followings who are saying the fix is in. That was not DeMar. His face was covered. He had sunglasses. He had a hat. When they went to him on CBS, you couldn't see him. And that there's this next level conspiracy that was actually not DeMar Hamlin at the game. They're saying it.
One, that's DeMar's swag. That's what he liked. He likes wearing that. Two, he was in the locker room with us pregame. So, yes, that was DeMar. There's absolutely zero chance. There's absolutely zero chance. That's
okay.
The DeMar Hamlin. That's our guy. That's our brother. He was with us pregame, postgame. He was up in the suite with his family, his little brother, 100%. So people need to stop.
I got it.
Okay. So there you go.
Or was he?
Or was he?
You Josh know what that Allen means, what he spoken? Just said?
Yeah.
It's fake.
Here's the thing that I find a little bit hard to believe
they're
in all that
his idea.
Is that Josh Allen didn't know these conspiracies were out there.
Yeah.
He hadn't seen any of that. He didn't have any idea.
Oh, hadn't heard it?
Why wouldn't DeMar just come on live and go, hey guys, I don't know what y'all are talking about.
Come on now.
I mean, he could do that and put all this to rest, right?
Yes.
Also, keeping his powder dry.
He's saying.
Look, that hurt my conspiracy theory that he said he was in the locker room with us.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the whole oxygen thing. Isn't DeMar supposed to be still on oxygen, but that person that we saw at the game was not on oxygen?
No, we don't know.
No,
well, who told you he's supposed to be on oxygen? Where did you get that?
That's what I heard.
That's something y'all talking about over in the neighborhood.
But again, could he just come out without his hood on and go,
did you say InfoWars?
Yeah.
That's good.
I would get on TV and go, you bunch of idiots. Look, it's me. You know, but that ain't happening. Just saying.
Well, Greg, you just nearly died on the field. You're recovering.
You can talk.
Well, not in a well. He doesn't.
He could talk and come out and put these rumors at rest.
Well, he may. But yeah, you're right. And I think at some point, I sure hope he does that.
I'm just telling you,
y'all. Nowadays, it is the most. There is a conspiracy around every corner.
Nothing's real.
Well, but
and
what I've noticed is, it's like we love conspiracies. I mean, they can be fun, but when you get to the point, this is the part I don't like, and this is the society that we're living in. No matter how much evidence you produce to debunk some narrative, people just stay with it. And that's the part I don't get. I've had things that I thought might be possible, and then all of a sudden, oh, well, I guess not.
Yeah.
Or, I guess so. Because
Rick, there's a fine line between critical thinking, okay, and we've talked about
this. Sure, yeah.
But there's also a point where the evidence is in and overwhelming, and I think you can close the book and move on.
Yeah, I think the odds, and again, we're really not very good at, now let me tell you why they're doing it.
Matter of fact, zero reason they're usually doing it.
Yeah, I still don't understand how anybody wins on,
I know.
We're pretending DeMar Hamlin came to a game that he didn't come to.
Well, and if he's no longer with us, how are you going to maintain this? You know, eventually.
Into what game?
You can't. Yeah, it is weird.
Car accident after the Super Bowl.
It's a little weird.
What?
Oh, I got you.
They're waiting for the Super Bowl.
And it's fun to have fun with. But I don't see a motive.
When you have a conspiracy like that, I always think about the movie Dave and how he became the president and they had to figure out a way to get him out of there. Do you remember that?
I remember the movie.
That was good.
I don't think I ever saw it.
That's a great movie, by the way.
It really is a good movie.
Rick.
No, it is. It's really good. I'm going to go back to this. Here's where I stand on this.
No stroke race.
Here's where I stand on this, which is, I think, the way we should handle most of this. If DeMar Hamlin never, ever does an interview and never says, it is me, look, I'm alive, and then after the Super Bowl, suddenly he has some kind of, his health goes downhill and he goes on into glory, then I'll go, wow, that conspiracy theory may have had some legs. But that, if that doesn't happen and I see him, I mean, we're at a time now, if he does an interview, it still won't be the end of it.
Yeah.
The people who are pushing this conspiracy, once he does come out, once he does an interview, once he makes a movie or whatever he's going to do and cashes in, which is fine. I don't care.
Yeah, he should.
They will never come back and go, we were wrong. It's like we were talking about a minute ago, because they'll continually push it or just won't talk about it. They never go back and go, you know, we were totally wrong.
Oh, no.
I will say I am joking around with the whole conspiracy theory. It's a fun thing to do.
It is.
I will say that it was incredibly weird the way that everybody behaved when he was at the game with the security and all that.
I agree.
That part weirded me out.
Phone calls are next. All 10 lines are available. What do you want to talk about? Huh? Huh? We'll chat with you. And all 10 lines are opened up, so if you move right now, you should get in.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
You have pointed to a video that Adler has today. The cow is a mini flamethrower.
Yeah, we have a couple of interesting videos today. Apparently, This is a does the video have audio with it explaining it, or do we
it doesn't, but you can hear what's going on.
Okay, this is a way they treat bloated cows. Mm-hmm. Bloat is a digestive disorder that results from a buildup of excessive
gas. I've had this before.
Which can ultimately lead to death. This method of treatment helps the cow by releasing methane, and the flames help the vet gauge the remaining gas left in the cow.
Wait a minute, they're lighting a cow fart? That's what we're doing?
There's a little syringe. They stick it in the bloated part of the cow. The gas starts coming out, and y'all,
they light.
Look at that.
It's a flamethrower.
I bet that cow feels so much better letting that come out.
Yeah. It's like a gas stove.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Matter of fact, they said that...
y'all, I'll be honest. I have never in my life seen that. Have you?
That? No, yeah, never. No. Now, have I seen a human being's wind be lit? I have seen that.
Oh, you've seen that?
Greg has seen it. Greg has seen it.
I've seen it too.
It didn't like blow across the room.
It doesn't do that.
No. Oh, wow.
I think we have video on the show one time of Don Juan doing that.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think you may be right.
Yeah, you're right.
No, I think
what?
You're
right.
That's not true.
Yeah.
Rock Steady and Don Juan did that.
Yeah. That and Jim Carrey.
It can be done. It just kind of runs over your pants with a little methane flame. It doesn't.
it goes out quick.
Yeah, I've never seen it like project. That. Like that right there, I've never seen anything like that.
It's like a little mini blowtorch.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you could whale with that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. How crazy is that?
This is the venting. I don't know if y'all want to see this, but this is the venting procedure.
Wait a minute. Do we want to see
without a flame?
What are we doing?
Here's a bloated cow.
I don't know that I want to see this.
So you can see where they're all bloated up.
Thanks, Adler.
We've seen them. You know, you can tell when a cow's bloated. You know, their stomach goes way out to the left and right. It's almost a very bizarre looking.
All right. So the doc is putting the vent in right now.
I don't want to see that.
It's a little bit rough, but.
Why are you doing this? He's about to pull the plug.
So we put a device in called a trocar, which you can see he punched in. The skin was, of course, deflating a cow. Letting all the gas out, and the steer is going to feel a lot better.
So this other guy likes it to know when it's all out, right? That's why he's doing it.
I guess so.
You that cow could talk and be like, oh, thank you.
That feels good.
And see, the
more chicken.
I'll be back next week.
But what's problematic? You see, Bill Gates doesn't want them to release. He wants them, I guess, just to be gas trapped forever. I mean, he doesn't want them to be able to burp. He doesn't want them to be able to break large. He doesn't want us to you know, whatever this is called. I mean,
Rick, I'll be honest. I've never seen this.
I mean, I knew nothing about this.
It's escaped my farm world.
What if we did that once a week on the rug with us?
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. How do you not know about this? You've hung out with Lenore's when they had cows.
Yeah, I know. They never did that. We fed them. And
we all fed cows.
He'd point out crazy eyes. Like, hey, watch that one right there.
That looks like you've got a propane bottle that you've lit to do some kind of cutting or welding.
It sure does.
Brazing.
Wow. See that flame?
It's wild.
Cow power.
Speaking of Bill Gates, do you guys want to hear him kind of about his carbon footprint?
Yeah, I thought this was a great video today. Bill Gates has been on twice. Now he's going to be, like we keep saying, these save the world people don't seem to live it out.
Can I ask y'all a question? Every time I hear Bill Gates, I see a blue screen. Is it just
That's
me?
That's funny. Oh, yeah. Golly, don't ever stop saying that.
See that story today you got?
All right, here we go.
You're creating a lot of greenhouse gases yourself.
Yeah, I probably have one of the highest greenhouse gas footprints of anyone on the planet. You know, my
kind of
personal flying alone is gigantic. Now, I'm spending quite a bit to buy aviation fuel that was made with plants. You know, I switched to an electric car. I've used solar panels. I'm paying a company that actually, at a very high price, can pull a bit of carbon out of the air and stick it underground. And so I'm offsetting my personal emission.
I mean, offsetting. They're ripping you off.
Is he eating the fries and a burger?
Yeah. And needed to swallow.
Yeah, he's right in the middle of a fry. Yeah. Does Bill Gates think we are...
First of all, he's either making it up or people are charging him for all this stuff, and it does absolutely.
Where's this plant-based jet fuel?
I hadn't heard of it.
I've never heard of it.
Where, what?
Also,
pilots, can y'all help us? Is there plant-based jet fuel?
A device that takes carbon out of the air? You mean like plants and trees?
Right, yeah.
You mean
no,
those?
No, he needs somebody to give him a pipe. He's going to run it into the ground as he's using it. It's okay. Why do we listen to these people for 30 seconds? They're the biggest hypocrites, and they don't believe what they're hawking. Nope. If they did, their lives would look drastically different. He almost got to the John Kerry thing where he was almost ready to tell Anderson, you don't understand how important
that is. At least Anderson, I'm doing I'll give this. At least he asked him about it.
I give him credit. He did ask him.
I think that Bill Gates probably needs to lay off the soy products, if you know what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
That's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
Well, he's not the healthiest looking guy.
He's eating cheese and meat and everything.
You're talking about man boobs?
Yeah. Greg.
A little high on estrogen, I think. Put a needle
in Greg, all he needs is the man. He just needs the man's ear.
Yeah, he get the man's ear, help him out. Yeah. Tremendous.
Is that a funny episode?
Golly, the man's ear.
The bro.
That was a great one. That show.
Adler, do you, while we're looking at some catching up on our videos, do you have the reverse waterfall handy?
Yes.
I thought that was really cool. This is in, I guess it's a Grand Canyon. When they get high winds in there, and the waterfall will actually go the opposite direction. Instead of running down the mountain, it blows it up in the air. And that's kind of wild.
There's no lighting gas.
It's nowhere close.
That cow thing, you ain't going to beat it today.
No, I'm not even. It's not even in the same category. I just thought this was interesting.
I'm waiting for an ad to run through. Yeah, Bob, I'm sorry. Yeah,
it's okay. On the break.
15 seconds.
We're so close.
Yeah, it wasn't long.
It's a cool visual.
You're right.
I just really need this.
And apparently we'll see it when we come back.
Right. 10 seconds.
I'm still waiting. Hey, there it is.
There it is.
Bubba.
So we got a waterfall that's going over the side of a mountain, rather large, but it's blowing right back up and over the top of the mountain. Isn't that cool?
Holy moly.
Craig, don't give him charity.
Actually, if you back out, this is actually a cow. This is coming out of the side of it. Yeah, the... All right, top of the hour. If you leave us, have a good day. Good.
Sorry, Bubba.
If you have more.
It was cool, Bubba.
It is cool.
It wasn't real. Wind blowing water.
There it is.
Top of the hour.
Rick and Bubba.
All right, so the doomsday clock. You said this, the libs came, you know, because the libs, they love to terrify. You know, they're just, they seem to be afraid of everything but God. And they just have to. They have to just work us into a scared frenzy, and they love to just terrify people. Back when we had the guy call about somebody swimming in a mask, we got emails from people saying they're seeing this and watching teachers saying the way children are so terrified, and that mask is like a security blanket to them, and what we're doing to children. They just want to terrify us. So only the left could come up with something called the doomsday clock and then go as far as to think that they know how close we are to doomsday.
Right.
That's the part that gets me. But apparently the story we have today, courtesy of NPR, the home of terror, that the doomsday clock has been moved 90 seconds closer to doomsday.
And now it actually sits at 90 seconds to midnight. Now, Rick, I remember when this thing came about and they started talking about it. But when did it – was it during the Reagan years they came up with it?
It sounds like
they had to scare everybody. And, you know, they thought Reagan was going to end the world because you forgot he was playing a pretty high-stakes poker game with the Russians.
They're showing it like in the 60s.
And
1947.
What? We've been doomsday clocking since 47?
Go back to that, Adler. Well, go back to that, Adler. That's really good, by the way.
Maybe I didn't hear it until
late 40s.
The Reagans. But this is put together by a group of atomic scientists, and they, you know, they are fearing the end of mankind as we know it.
Total calamity of
nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. And they're saying they moved it up due to the dangers of the war in Ukraine.
Okay, so that's what got us moved?
Yeah.
So they think, I know it's not literally 90 seconds, they mean in time.
Well, they're
that we are knocking on doomsday's door.
Yeah, at midnight, it's all over. By the way, a great movie Great movie coming out, Oppenheimer. Have you seen the trailers for this?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. I'm going to be all over that. I love atomic bomb documentaries and docudramas.
Aren't clocks supposed to go in like one direction? This seems like it's going forwards and backwards a little bit.
Well, they'll move you away from doomsday if things are going the way they see the world.
So are we at threat level midnight right now? What's going on?
90 seconds to midnight.
Yeah. Threat level what? Midnight.
I do find it odd, which is so funny. I do find it odd that the all fearful, terrified left, willing to give up anything for everything to be okay, they're really on board for Ukraine fighting back, when really probably the way that we get to peace quicker, if Ukraine would just go down to the negotiating table and give Russia a way to save face and give them some of the land they're after, just not all of it. But on that end, they're all about Ukraine, fight, but fight, could actually panic Russia into a place to save face that would bring us to doomsday. Are they a little inconsistent on where they should be? I'm talking about leftists. I'm not talking about others. Doesn't that seem a little – I thought they're all about compromise and just to have peace and give up things and quit being war hawks. And
it's weird that the people on the left now are the ones calling for war. Yes, it's very weird.
Okay. I just wondered – and then now we're going – Threat level
okay. Midnight.
Yeah.
Here's a couple of things that they cite. Okay. They're saying the last remaining nuclear weapons treaty between Russia and the United States, the New START, stands in jeopardy unless the two parties resume negotiations to find a basis for further reductions. The treaty will expire in 2026. Mm-hmm. They're also citing China's considerable expansion of its nuclear capabilities. They're citing North Korea stepping up its intermediate and long-range missile testing. They're citing Iran continues to increase its uranium enrichment capacity. They're saying India continues to modernize its nuclear arsenal with 160 warheads and new delivery systems now under development. And the United States, Russia, and China are now pursuing a full-fledged nuclear weapons modernization program, setting the table for a dangerous new third nuclear age of competition.
Was it at 100 seconds in 2022? So did it act?
Yes.
It was? Okay.
Yeah, it was at 100. They've gone a little too close, and now they're having to cut it into smaller little increments here. You know, they're like, it was 3 minutes, now it's 100 seconds. Now it's 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. It was 100.
Yeah. So
next will be 89 seconds.
I'm just trying to picture. I just want to picture what this must look like to God Almighty. Do you think that, like, how silly this must look to the beginning and the end, and all things are being held together by Him? Everything. Keep in mind, every single one of us, He needs to show grace to allow us to take our next breath, including them. And He looks down, and they are all standing around their little clock, saying they know when doomsday is coming and when all human calamity and everything's going to end. And they're the ones that have looked at all the seasons and they have figured out, and they're going to decide just how close to this we are. How silly must that look? Say, and every one of them can't even take a breath unless He allows it. And they're going to sit here and tell us when all human mankind and calamity is coming to all humankind. They know, and they want to warn all of us. No, I will tell you, if it's down to 90 seconds, I don't know why they're not talking about Ukraine compromising. It's because, you know, if you're somebody who believes that true peace only comes after all-out victory, you kind of pull in for one of these two to defeat the other, and you're kind of over in the Ukraine camp. At least you're consistent with your worldview. But if you're a compromise, no war, end all things, you know, you would just say to Russia, you know, to the Ukrainians, why don't y'all just give them a little bit of land so they can save face so we won't continue this horrible war?
Let me ask you this. How do you think that's going to end? Seriously, because we're funding the Ukrainians with equipment. We've got Patriot missiles headed that way. We got tanks going that way. Germany's sending tanks. We can't fund them to the tune of billions of dollars indefinitely.
Well, apparently we can.
How does this end? What do you think?
I think it ends just like I said. It's not going to end unless Vladimir Putin dies and the people who take over say, look, this was a mistake. We're backing out of here. Sorry about that. Or if he stays in power or someone like him stays in power, you're going to have to come to the negotiating table and give them some way to save face. They're never going to take defeat. And you're going to have to say, look, we want to stay sovereign. What about we give you all this little piece right here? Does that help y'all save face? Now, y'all going back home, but we're still a sovereign nation, and we're keeping what we want. The thing of Ukraine's going to keep fighting until they actually can declare all that victory, remove Russia from their land. I think that you kind of like the sound of that, but I mean, I just don't know that you what you don't want. I mean, especially if you see it from the world from the left, I don't think you want to take a maniacal nation with maniacal leaders and say they're going to have to save face any way they can. That could lead to a real dangerous situation.
Well, think about this, too.
Unless you're going to go all in with them and try to do an all-out victory thing.
How did Afghanistan defeat Russia, and how did they outlast us? They outlasted us. They just
– yeah.
And, you know, it may take 10 or 15 years, but if the Ukraine just continues, does Russia get tired and go home?
Maybe, and they can declare victory, which they will do.
Or yep. Just say it ain't worth it.
Yeah, we did everything we were supposed to do here. We're out.
But that's going to cost a lot of money.
It is.
To do it that long.
Yeah, it is. And more lives, too. Hey, it's Rick and Bubba. Why don't you join us tomorrow for a brand new Rick and Bubba show?
Rick, it'll be a big and busy show as always. A lot going on, a lot to recap. Dan Moultrie will be checking in, and also Tim Tebow.
All tomorrow on the Rick and Bubba show. Thanks for listening to the daily best of Rick and Bubba.
To catch the entire show and for all things Rick and Bubba, go to rickandbubba.com, spell out AIM.
Lord willing, we will catch you on the next edition of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.